Let us be lost in you every day. Not standing at the shoreline fearing the waves, but rushing in and knowing that in the deep places you are there with us. That you will never leave us nor forsake us. Whether we're 12 feet under or riding on top of the waves, you are there with us. Whether we're in the middle of a storm or in the middle of the hottest desert we've ever been in, you are there with us. So we can say, I will not be afraid. Where you go, I will follow. Lord, we're following after you. Now, Father, I ask you to open the hearts and the minds of your children today to receive your word. Lord, let it not be my words, but your words. People do not need my words. Lord, I have nothing to offer except you. And so, Holy Spirit, I ask you to come and witness your words to each and every one of your children. And that by your word and your word alone, every yoke of bondage would be broken. Every blind eye would be opened. Every captive would be set free. Every place of sickness would be made whole. Why? Because of your word, which is always true, which is always faithful, the rock upon which you can stand. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Leona. Appreciate that. Oh, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Good to see you, Rex and Barb. Did you have a good service on Sunday? We missed you. Good to see you. Well, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 43, the word of the Lord says, but now this is what the Lord says, he who created you, O Jacob, and who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name, and you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned, and the flames will not set you ablaze, for I am the Lord your God. I want to talk to you tonight about wisdom to ride the waves. In the book of Psalms 93, verse 4, the word of the Lord says, the Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, than the mighty waves of the sea. Have you ever stood beneath the noise of a waterfall? Not just like a pretty waterfall, but like Niagara or a really strong, that's some noise. It is some real loud noise. It's powerful. It can sometimes be very intimidating and very, very relentless sounding. And sometimes we have storms like that in our life. We have storms in our lives that create very powerful, very intimidating, sometimes very relentless noise. Here's how I know some of you have them, because I watch you at the altar and you do this. But sometimes, do you have that storm going on? And it's just, boy, what was that verse of that song we just sang? And it says it's, but it's only lies. You know, sometimes when you're in a storm, you hear this noise and it's intimidating and it's relentless. And sometimes it's just the circumstances that seem so loud all around you. Sometimes it's the devil that's just going, you're going to die, you're going to die, you're going to die. It's not going to work, it's not going to work. Sometimes it's your friends that you need to not listen to because they're making so much noise that they're scaring you half to death. This scripture says right here, the Lord is higher and he is mightier and he's more relentless than the strongest wave. He's higher, he's mightier, he's stronger. The biggest wave you've ever seen, the most relentless wave you've ever seen, the most powerful force of water you have ever seen in movement, God is bigger, he is mightier, and he's higher than it all. And you need to remember that. In Psalm 42, 7 through 8, New King James says, deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfalls. All your waves and billows have gone over me. You ever been hit by a wave? I mean, yeah. Knock you down. Just had one come and just hit you. I've been hit twice by a sneak wave. Never even saw it coming. And oh, it just, it hits you so hard, it can totally knock you off balance. It can knock you completely off your feet. Sometimes, have you ever just been playing in the ocean and you think, this is good, I got this, and then one hits you and it just kind of throws you back a little bit. It's a little stronger than you thought it would be. They can knock the wind out of you. They can knock the strength out of you. A good wave of a storm. Sometimes it can take you completely underneath where your once head was completely above. You know, you're kind of walking along and things are good, and then the next thing you know, here comes the storms, here comes the waves, and they come, and where I once was walking around, my head was up here, now I'm down here, and I'm gasping for air. Waves are powerful like storms, and they can come and they can strike our lives. And sometimes we can see the waves coming. Sometimes we can hear those storms coming. Sometimes they come completely out of nowhere and you never knew what hit you. It's just like, boom. I was walking and playing with my little sister in the ocean one time, and I was about 8 and she was about 3, and we're just walking along, and it's just literally to our shins, just a quiet summer day. And the next thing you know, I hear this noise out of nowhere. And I look up, and here comes this wave. It was huge. Came out of me. I didn't even have time to do anything. And the next thing you know, it went all the way over the top of us and grabbed her. And I'm holding on to her like this, and it was too strong for me. And I let go of her, and she got washed right out. My dad and my mom were all the way up. This was our first encounter with the Oregon Ocean. We'd moved from Montana, and that was our first encounter with the Oregon Ocean, was that. And my dad, being very athletic and very strong, swam out and was able to get her. And I got hit by a second one when I was 9 months pregnant. And we're just out looking at the tide pools. And I'm just playing around there looking, and it's another beautiful sunny day. And I heard the same noise, and I looked up, and here it came. And sometimes storms are like that. Sometimes you can see them coming, sometimes you can hear them, and sometimes they're just on top of you before you even know what happened. But God. Psalm 42:8, the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, a prayer to the God of my life. You know, when Paul was shipwrecked and his boat blew apart into a gajillion pieces and he ended up on the shore, it says he was shown unusual kindness. That's what this is saying. The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime. Do you know, in the midst of a storm, God will command loving kindness to come to your way? Amen. I will tell you, I'm in a huge storm, and God has commanded this week, Andy and I were just talking about this, the loving kindness that he has commanded to come our way through providing us a vehicle, through helping us to repair another vehicle so that we could sell that vehicle, to notes of encouragement, to why? Because that's who God is. Because when you're in a storm, one of the things that storms do is that storms typically wash away old things and they bring in new treasure. That's why everybody goes out, at least I did, and combed the beaches after the storms, right, Beck? That's why you do that. Those treasures are usually this scripture right here. The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime. Open your eyes and look around. God will send you loving kindness. He will command loving kindness to come your way in the midst of your storm. And in the night, his song shall be with you. He will send you a song to sing to you to sleep at night. You ever been in that place? It's very dark and it's thundering and it's lightning and it's very stormy and you wonder how you're going to sleep. And the next thing you know, the song of the Lord just sings you right to sleep. Why? Because God is good. Even when we face these waves, even when we face these storms, he will command loving kindness to be swept into you. And the song of the Lord will sing you to sleep at night. When I was in San Diego, one of the things that I did, I walked a lot because I didn't have a car. So it was good. I walked every day, probably walked 3 or 5 miles a day just trying to get around. And one day I stopped along my way in and to watch the surfers. Just sat there for a couple hours way up on a cliff and watched these people surf. And they happened at the time, they had some experts out there surfing, and then they also had some that were taking lessons. And so it was so interesting, as I watched them surf, I noticed a few things about those experts who knew the wisdom of how to ride those waves and the young ones that were learning how to do it. One of the first things I noticed is that those with wisdom and those with experience, and you could sit there and watch, and you knew who had the wisdom and the experience, and you knew who was a novice. And here's one of the first things. The novices tried to ride every wave, and those with wisdom didn't. They'd wait. They would wait, and they would watch, and they would wait, and they would watch, and they'd study the waves, and you knew that they studied the waves. And they would choose by wisdom, and they would choose by understanding what to do with each wave that came by. Each one of them. The novices, they tried to ride every one. But those with experience, they'd watch and they'd wait. Some, they would just gracefully ride over the top of them. They'd look at this wave and they'd go, hmm. And they would position themselves and they'd just roll with it. And they'd just relax. And sometimes that's what we need to do. We need to have some wisdom and discernment, not to just crash through every wave. We need to look at these waves as they come in. Some waves, you just roll with it. You just got to relax. You got to be flexible enough to know this wave is completely out of my control. God's going to get me on the other side of it. And if I'll just relax and hang on to my little board, I'm just going to be able to roll right on the other side of this thing. And that's what they would do with some of the waves. They'd just go, loop, and they'd go right over the top of them. And some of the waves, that's what you need to do. Just roll with it. I'm not supposed to tackle it. I'm not supposed to try to ride it. I'm not supposed to try to punch through it. I just need to roll with this one. I'm going to relax, and I'm just going to flow. God's going to get me on the other side of this one. Isaiah 12:2. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Here comes the wave. The Lord's going to get me on the other side of it, and I'm just going to roll with it. Some of them, they would hold their breath, and they would just push through right to the other side. They didn't try to roll over it. They just went straight through it. Have you ever watched them do it? Take a great big deep breath, and they just duck their heads, and they just go, and you'd watch them come out the other side. Now, some waves are like that. Some waves, you're going to have to hold your breath until God gets you on the other side of that thing. And he's not going to let you just roll up over the top of it. He's going to take you right dead center through the middle of it. And if you've ever been through a wave like that, here's the only way you survive. You have got to learn how to take in the breath of God. Have any of you ever had to take the life-saving, what's the water course you take so you learn how to save people? That thing, the lifeguard thing. And you learn how to, you know, save other people and do all that stuff. Well, one of the things they teach you how to do is hold your breath for a really long time underwater. And there's a way to learn how to do that. There's a way to go underwater, and they teach you how to breathe so that you can hold your breath down there longer than just the average Joe that just goes, and you can stay down there for a really long time, and you can train yourself to be able to hold your breath for a really long time. In Job 33:4, the Word of God says, the Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. There is a breath of God that if you can learn how to breathe it in, you will be able to hold your breath longer than the average person around you. You will be able to push through a wave. You will be able to push through a storm. You will be able to hold on and not drown because you are not breathing natural air and you are not breathing as normal people do. You have taken in the breath of God, and it is going to carry you through to the other side. But you've got to learn how to do that. Just like you learn what the Holy Spirit is, you have to learn what the breath of God is. And you have to learn the breath of God gives me life, which means I can be underwater a month and I can breathe the breath of God. It's like scuba gear. It's like you got a tank back there and it's the breath of God. The other ones, if they didn't roll over the top of them, and they didn't punch right through them. And again, this is where you have to learn your waves. This is where you've got to get close enough to the Holy Ghost that you've got to learn how to not just freak out by the waves, but you've got to learn how to ask as they're coming, Lord, what am I going to do with this one? Is this the one I roll over? Is this the one I take in the breath of God and I go right through? Or is this the one I'm going to mount up and ride? Because some of them, they actually would went, that one. And you could see them. They get this glimmer and they'd get ready and it's, you know what, this one I'm going to ride. But when they rode them, there was a very specific way that they would get up and they would ride these waves, those who had experience. Again, it was easy to see who had experience and who was just the novice, who was just learning. But one of the first things that those with experience would do is they would position themselves in an authority on the wave. They were going to ride the wave was not going to ride them. And when they looked at that wave, you could see it. They went, that's mine. That's my wave. And I'm going to get up on top of this thing, and I'm going to be in control of the wave, and the wave is not going to ride me. We need to learn how to be able to do that too. To do this positioning on the board was so critical for them. They knew exactly how to stand. They knew exactly how to point that board. And they knew exactly how to balance themselves to ride the wave so the wave didn't ride them. And we have to be able to do the same, to position ourselves with authority, with confidence. This is a wave that God has called me to ride, and I'm going to ride this thing. One of the first things that you saw with them is if they took their board and they pointed it too far forward, meaning they jumped up on the wave and they pointed it directly at the shore, then the waves overtook them, which is what we do when we run in fear from the wave. I see the wave, and I'm like, ah, and I turn this way and I run. And usually what happens is it overtakes them. And when they would do that with their board and they just go like this, then very quickly the wave would just go right over the top of them and smash them. Job 3:25 says, what I feared has come upon me. What I dreaded has happened to me. When waves come and when storms come, and when in fear we try to outrun them, usually what happens is we land on our face and they overtake us. If they took that same board and they tried to position it directly into the swell, it ate them. And usually that's what happens to us. When we just position ourselves straight in front of the storm with pride or with haughtiness, I'll take that. I can do that. It's nothing but a thing. And you get all full of yourself with pride and arrogance, and next thing you know, the wave eats you, which is what would happen to them. The novices did that a lot. They'd see the wave and they go, I got this. And they jump up there and they turn that right into the wave and just go. And sometimes we do that. Proverbs 16:18, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Those that could ride those waves, they'd get up and they would point the tip slightly toward shore. And then they'd run along the side of the swell. When they pointed their tip slightly toward shore, what they were pointing it toward was the promise, the goal, and the end destination, which is what we need to do. You get up there, and you point your tip right toward the promise, and then you ride right along. They would ride as they rode with their tip just toward the promise. I'm heading toward the shore. I'm not running in fear, and I'm not trying to conquer this wave. I'm heading right toward my promise, and I'm riding it in authority and confidence. Then what would happen is they get closer and closer to the shore, and the longer they rode the wave, the smaller the swell got. And the reason is because by their weight and their ability to stay on top of that thing, their weight began to decrease the size of it and bring them closer to shore. You have a spiritual weight in your authority. When you get up on your wave, the one God's called you to ride, get up on that wave and you see your shore and you go, okay, that's where I'm going. That's my promise. The weight of God, the spiritual weight of your authority, the longer you ride that thing, is going to begin to decrease that cell. And that wave's going to get smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. And you are going to get closer and closer and closer and closer to your end destination and to your goal. We need to be able to do this with waves when they come into our life. When these waves come, whether these storms are sent by God, whether these storms are sent by life, or whether they're sent by the devil, it really doesn't matter. We've got to learn how to position ourselves in the spiritual authority that God has given us. We've got to know that the spiritual authority that we have carries weight. And that's something we don't often understand. Spiritual authority is something that a lot of people don't really understand. It's It's kind of like, okay, well, here's my weapon and here's my spiritual authority, but now I'm going to walk away and go out in my day. Spiritual authority is something you carry. That's why it says in the Word of God to put on the armor of God. You carry it. It is a weight. Most of the time, people just don't even understand they have it, so they don't operate in it. They don't move in it. They don't understand it. They think, well, I've got to run home and get in my prayer closet and fight and carry my weight around. You carry your spiritual weight around every day. You may have to ride that wave for 3 months. What are you going to do? Get off every 5 minutes and go back and get your sword? No, you're carrying it. And the longer you ride that thing, you're carrying a weight. And the longer you ride it, the more that swell gets lower and lower and lower and lower because of the spiritual authority that you have as you ride that thing. Because God has told you to. Not running in fear so that it overtakes you and not getting all prideful and full of yourself and turning and going, I'm just going to do this and having the thing kill you. But you mount up in faith, you mount up in authority, you keep your eyes on the prize and on the promise, not on the pounding waves. When Jesus commissioned, I love this. I always say this when I read this scripture. I have summoned you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, God will summon you sometimes into the waters. Sometimes you're there because you're supposed to be. You just are. When Jesus commissioned Peter out of the safety of his boat onto the stormy waters, as long as Peter kept his eye on Jesus, he was fine. In Matthew 14, let's see where I start. I'm going to start up in verse 25. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. And when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said. They cried out to him in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. He summoned him out into the storm. He summoned him to mount the wave. He summoned him to walk on water. Peter got out of the boat, so he got out of the safety of his little protective place here. Sometimes God will commission you to step out of your boat, and sometimes he'll just wreck your boat. And if he wrecks your boat, you better be ready to walk. Sometimes he wrecks your boat because nobody would ever get out of the boat otherwise. But, you know, God's not above wrecking anybody's boat. So Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and he began to sink, and he cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You have little faith. Why did you doubt? He was fine until he saw the wave he was standing on. That's the other thing I noticed about the surfers. They weren't watching the wave. They were watching where they were going. They were watching where they were headed. They didn't surf like this. They surfed like that, which is how we need to ride our waves. And here's the last thing I noticed as I watched them. There's one thing that whether they rolled with the wave, whether they held their breath and went through, or whether they mount up and rode, there's one thing that every one of them had in common, and that was the board. Losing the board was not an option. Every single one of them clung to that board like it was their lifeline. Jesus is your board. He is your rock. He is the piece that you have to cling to. No matter how you're going to take the wave, you got to hang on to him. A lot of these guys, if you watch them, they've got those little straps now that they tie to the board and then to their ankle so that they can't get separated from the board. You need to make sure you don't get separated from the board. The one thing that Paul was told was as long as you stay with the ship, you're going to survive. In other words, don't let go. You've got to be able to hang on. Whether I'm rolling with it, whether I'm holding my breath to get through the other side, or whether I'm going to mount up and ride, I must always, always cling to the board. I'm going to close with this scripture in 2 Samuel 22. I'm going to start in verse 2. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge. my shield and the horn of my salvation. He is my stronghold, my refuge, my savior. From violent men you save. I call to the Lord who is worthy of praise, and I am saved from my enemies. The waves of death encircled me, and the torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. The cords of the grave coiled around me, and the snares of death confronted me. I called in my distress, I called to the Lord. I called out to my God. And from his temple he heard my voice, and my cry came to his ears. The earth trembled and quaked, and the foundations of the heavens shook, and they trembled because he was angry. Smoke rose from his nostrils, consuming fire came from his mouth, burning coals blazed out of it. He parted the heavens and came down. Do you know that when you call out to God, he parts the heavens and comes down? Do you need to know that? He mounted the cherubim and flew, and he soared on the wings of the wind. He made darkness his canopy around him and dark rain clouds of the sky. Out of the brightness of his presence, bolts of lightning blazed forth. The Lord thundered from heaven, and the voice of the Most High resounded. He shot arrows and scattered the enemies. Bolts of lightning routed them. The valleys of the sea were exposed, and the foundation of the earth laid bare. At the rebuke of the Lord, at the blast of breath from his nostrils, he reached down from on high and took hold of me and drew me out of deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my disaster, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. Amen. Because he delighted in me. If you're up to your eyeballs in waves, it's okay. Call out to the Lord, who is your salvation. Call out to the Lord, who will rescue you. Ask him, what do I do with this wave? Learn. As long as I've been saved, people have said this to me. When is it ever going to stop? And here's what I always tell them. When you're in heaven. When you get on the other side of this wave, there's another wave. I stood there for hours and watched them. Do you know they took one after another after another? And the only way the waves stopped was when they got out of the water. The waves don't stop. You need to learn how to ride them. Amen? Amen. Father God, I thank you so much that you are mightier than all of the waves, that you are in control of all of the waves, no matter how quiet they may be or how raging they may be. You, Father God, command the sea. You command the storms. And you commission us and you summon us by name right out into the middle of them. Because you trust us. And because you are with us always. So, Father, I just ask you to give us wisdom every day. Wisdom to learn how to not fear the waves, but how to do with them what you've called us to do. How to ride the ones that we're supposed to ride in the spiritual authority that you have given us, carrying the weight of your word and the weight of your promises and decreasing the size of that swell as we rode along toward the promise, or learning how to breathe in not natural air but the breath of the Almighty that can cause us to hold our breath in the deepest seas, in the darkest cold waters, for days and weeks and months on end, not dependent upon the breath of this life, but upon the breath of God which gives us life. And then, Lord, sometimes just being able to roll with it. Know that some waves, we just need to learn how to relax and roll right over the top of them. Not by might, not by our power, but by your spirit, Lord. We're going to roll to the other side of it. So give us wisdom and give us discernment every day. To know how to do what you have called us to do with the waves that come into our lives. And above all things, Father God, may we cling to the board which is Jesus Christ. For he and he alone is the commander in chief of all of the waves and the one who will keep us safe in any storm. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand up on your feet as we close. If you need prayer tonight, the altar is open to you.